Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Tons of people take a multivitamin, me included. I'm trying to get back on track after football season, eating better, exercising, all of that. And it's important to choose one that is top quality. With one delicious scoop of Athletic Greens, you're absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food sourced superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to help you start your day right. This special blend of ingredients helps to support gut health, the nervous system, immune system, energy, recovery, focus, and aging. It's lifestyle friendly, adapting to a wide range of diets. It contains less than 1 gram of sugar, no GMOs, no chemicals or artificial anything. Plus, it costs less than $3 a day. It's time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition, especially during cold and flu season. It's just one scoop in a cup of water every day. That's it. No need for a million different pills and supplements to look out for your health. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free 1 year supply of immune supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/sportsdrink. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/sportsdrink to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. Thanks for listening to Saints Happy Hour. We are a family here. You know what families do? They support each other. And if you aren't a patron, we need your support. All the great content you consume for free takes time and money. If you love the show and listen regularly, please become a patron. We need you. Supporting Saints Happy Hour can cost you as little as 23 cents a day. That's what the Saints should have paid Kenny Stills. So please go to Patreon/Saints Happy Hour and support the show today.
Hey, Ralphie, Andrew, and Dave. All right, I got a little intel. Your Saints Happy Hour podcast? Yeah. It's a joke, all right? And I'll tell you what. You, Ralph, you mispronounce everything, okay? I listen, I go, what the? Does he not know the English language? All right, Ralph. I try to get an English class in there every now and then, okay, pal? Andrew! Think you're smart, huh? Think you're smart? You're in big trouble, pal. Eat a piece of shit like you for breakfast. And then, of course, there's Dave. Dave, a little obnoxious? Got a little bit of a chip on your shoulder, huh? You gotta cut people down all the time? Is that what you gotta do? But know that life is good. Appreciate it. Do what you do. Keep on keeping on. Shooter out.
Hey, guys, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. We can hear you.
All right, let's get it moving.
I think this is Hamilton. I think they're getting Hamilton.
Let's go. Mickey,
who do you think they're going for?
Mickey Loomis type stuff.
I think this is going to be Hamilton.
All right.
Can you hear me, Ralph?
I can hear you just fine.
Okay.
I think they panicked, and they got Olave, guys. We're live on Space. It took a little second, but we're here.
I already know who.
Mickey Loomis can never help himself.
Who is it? Tell us. You can tell us.
They took
Andrew.
Olave.
You're with us.
They took Olave.
Chris Olave is a New Orleans Saint.
All right.
Woo-hoo. Interesting that the Saints trade up here.
I mean, you don't think they could have waited? You don't think they could have let him fall a little bit
more? Well, the good news is, from what I'm told, they kept the 19th pick.
They did.
So we will.
Yes.
This year's schedule.
But now I want. I don't know. I still want them to trade down with that 19th pick.
You want them to trade down?
Yeah, with the 19th pick.
It looks like the Saints gave Washington
the 49th,
the 16th, the third round pick, and the 4th.
Woo! What, repeat that, Andrew?
So they keep their second round pick, but they gave up the third round pick
and the fourth
round pick and 16.
Yeah.
So we
That's right.
That is a lot. I mean,
that's why I'd like to see them trade down and maybe get some of those picks back. No, I'm not kidding, really. I mean, I'm serious.
Yeah.
I mean, well, for Chris Olave, I mean,
Ralph, I did tell you that Olave was the number one receiver on their board.
You did.
So I think the Saints, look, I think from Mickey Loomis's standpoint, I think he's got to be pretty happy about this.
Yeah.
In the sense that Olave was the third receiver taken.
Yeah.
And they were fortunate to get him because, you know, Falcons did them a solid by taking Drake London. And then Garrett Wilson was picked by, I believe it was the Jets. And so I think, you know, the Saints are kind of looking at this as like, wow, we traded up and we were able to get the number one. They believe he's the best receiver in the draft, and they were able to get him as a third receiver.
By the way, Pell's up 85-82.
Oh, my God. Sports apocalypse or Noah is upon us. I mean,
what is going on in this draft? Just make the damn pick. What this is, Gonzalez is having this whole conversation. Let's just go. Come on. What the hell?
I mean, that, that is a lot to give up to move up five spots, Andrew. A lot.
Let Sean Orleans speak. He's requested to speak. Let Kevin speak.
You give Dave co-hosting duties and not me.
I was here first.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
You go.
Kevin, it's another year. It's another year. It's another trade up. What are we going
to do? The violins.
I don't have the violins.
Seriously.
All of the violins.
I know.
It was five goddamn slots, five picks. They couldn't have waited. They couldn't have waited for Chris. I mean, look, I know there were three offensive tackles picked. There were two wide receivers. The Saints got happy feet in the pocket and started panicking. This was a panic move. This was a panic decision. I don't care if he was number one on their board. You wait for shit to come to you. And
are you new here, dude?
And they gave that shitbag owner of the Commanders a haul. They gave him a third and a fourth to move up five spaces.
I know. It's an absolute joke.
Olave Garden.
Michael Thomas.
Great. Olave Garden. Better be starting game one. And not only that, he better be starting, this guy better be getting double-digit touchdowns, 1,200 yards receiving. This guy ought to be in discussion for rookie of the year when you trade up like this to get a position like this on offense. Well,
okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
This guy better slay some fucking dragons on the flight down here is what I'm saying. And Dave is correct. This team needs to immediately look to trade down from 19 because otherwise it's going to be a long wait to 49 and then an even longer wait after that. This team has still holes to fill, and so basically Olave needs to fucking kill it in order to justify this move.
Well, no, I'll say this, Kevin. On the Rich Hill trade chart, the Saints gave up 361 points. Washington's 11 pick is 358. So, like, they didn't overpay. They didn't. They got it about cost. It wasn't a discount. Maybe they, you know, a couple points here. It was about right. Like,
I think more to Kevin's point, I think it's more like it just wasn't necessary. Like, it's only a good move. Like Kevin said, if Olave is really that great. It's the same thing as like Marcus Davenport and Peyton Turner.
You know,
when you trade up for these guys, it puts this extra pressure.
Ralph, I swear to God, man, it's like these guys forget what the Saints passing offense looked like.
That's right. It's right. I mean,
I get that, but we're supposed to.
No. Like, do we need to go watch some games together, Dave?
No.
See what Trevor Siemian and Taysom Hill had to work with. Do you want to turn on the Ian Book game?
Here, I got.
That's not fair.
I got Ian.
Ian Book game is not fair.
Do you want some Kenny Stills highlights? I'll show you some highlights of your boy Little Jordan.
Here, we got people that want to talk. We got Jason.
That's kind of a fair point.
Jason Champagne, the Saints. They did a Saints type activity. You know, they did what they do, man. This is the Saints, man. It's what they do. They trade up.
Absolutely, but you know what? When you see what the next pick is going to be, you'll see why they had to do it. If you guys want to know,
okay, tell me.
No, yeah, tell us.
The Lions traded up to 12. They gave up 32, 34, and 66, and took Jamison Williams.
Wow!
So if the Saints didn't get in at 11, we might have missed out on a receiver. At 16.
That makes me feel a little bit better. And you know, like we talked.
That is terrible.
I mean, for pre-draft, we talked about how there's going to be a run on, you know, certain positions, offensive tackle, wide receiver, and that's when teams are going to be trading up. We just didn't talk about the Saints being one of those teams that were actually going to be involved in the trading up and freaking out because, one of their guys is starting to go. So,
who did the Lions trade up with?
They traded up with Minnesota.
Yeah.
So it was Minnesota. Wow, a division rival, and you hand them, those kind of picks. I would be putting the GM on a catapult and firing him in the Lake Michigan.
I mean, here's the thing,
he
though.
Did if work you for the Rams, so F the picks.
If you're gonna trade with a division rival and you want it, you kind of have to let them. Rape you, trade rape. And if you watch the league, they got trade raped. The Lions. I mean, you know, what do you want to say? I know, it's not politically correct, but if you watch the league,
no, it's
yeah,
right. All right, I'll okay, but, all right,
that's
well,
from the league.
Look, I think now that we know, the Lions were basically taking Olave. I mean, there's no way the Lions would have passed on Olave and taken Jamison Williams if he was there, in my opinion.
Yeah,
I mean, look, they traded up. They gave up picks to go get a guy that's got a torn ACL, and they're probably going to have to wait until November for him to hit his stride. So
a very Lions move.
A very Lions move. But at the end of the day, Saints get Olave. We have been clamoring, gentlemen, for a receiver since the end of time.
That's right.
And the Saints finally make it happen. By the way, they get a good player. And look, the whole the trade, this, that, like, it's all decoration. At the end of the day, when you're drafting, Ralph, what do I always say? Just get good players. Just get good players in the building. Olave is freaking awesome. He is a terrific receiver. They did what they needed to do. They made it happen. They got him in the freaking building. And okay, you know what? And you know what? Maybe, just maybe, I don't have to watch little Jordan Humphrey run routes this year.
All right, all right. We don't need to be taking shots at my son, okay? But, I mean, basically, you're telling me that this is we should feel different about this than Marcus Davenport or Peyton Turner as far as, like, trading up to get a guy they want. This is different because Olave is a sure thing, right? Like, Marcus Davenport, that was a random thing.
I don't know if you remember my reaction last year, but I like the Peyton Turner pick.
Right.
Because
I love the Olave pick.
Okay, well, that's what
Olave
I'm saying.
Chris Olave is in the Saints building, makes me...
Makes you what?
He dropped.
He dropped.
I don't know.
Here's the thing. I feel better about the trade now. I feel better about the trade knowing that Detroit gave up everything.
That makes me feel better too.
I mean, listen, the Saints.
I'll feel even better if this guy goes 1,210.
Well, here's the thing though. And I think the Saints, they were correct in their assumption. They were like, we got to move up to get Olave. Oh, he's not going to be there at 16. And you can argue whether you thought they should have waited and it's not that big. Like, Loomis was right. Like, Olave wasn't going to be there. So, like, you can say they paid too much or whatever. But they weren't wrong that they had to go. Like, they had to make this decision now to get Olave.
You can't bang on the table. Like, receiver for the last 3 years like fans have been doing and then complain when they trade up to get the best one. I'm sorry. Fair. It doesn't work both ways. Pick a lane, Saints.
No. Wrong. Watch me. Watch me, Juge. Well, actually, I tell you what. Don't just watch me. Listen to me.
I get that you're angry, but, you know, at some point, like fool me. Fool me like seven times, shame on me at this point. Like, were you expecting something different, Kevin? Are you new here? Like, it's
what happened to your sauces? What happened to your sauces, Juge?
He was right. I love it. Was the number receiver on the ball?
Juge, I don't think that the Saints are going to trade down. I think they're just trade up. I think they're just going to stand pat. I think the team's happy where they are.
Yeah, the Saints will never trade down. It's just, it doesn't matter who the coach is. This also proves that I don't think Peyton and Dennis Allen have anything to do with this.
I think they might at 19.
Here's the thing. You need
who's available.
I want them to. They have to. Please trade down. Either down and get a first round pick next year or trade down and get the picks you just gave up. But please, because otherwise what? We're going to have four picks in this draft?
Here's the thing though, Dave. You need a partner to trade down. That's what you need a partner to do it.
I know.
You know? And I don't know if the Saints, if they'll have a partner to do it. I don't know. You know?
So yeah. When is the appropriate? I mean, I feel like Thomas is going to run wild with the Olave Garden.
Well, we have to. I mean, we are. I mean, contractually obligated.
We need Olave Garden segments.
Oh, I mean,
show.
Yeah,
yeah, we do.
Yeah, we're going to run it into the ground.
You need to get those parody shirts out tomorrow.
Yeah, y'all are really going to be sick of this.
Olave.
Okay, so let me ask you a question. So the Saints pick at 19, so that's like 50 minutes from now. We're staying on this thing until they pick again?
Oh, God, no, man. I need a drink.
No, we're going to I don't know. It's a long way to go. We'll probably.
No, we didn't plan on the trade up.
No, we didn't.
Why? We should.
I mean, we should have. The thing is, you know it's coming, but you can't like predict when it would happen. I really thought when Seattle was on the clock, I started to set up, but then I got distracted by the Pelicans.
Well, thank God you didn't accidentally publish that.
No, I wasn't publish. I was just setting up the spaces, you know?
But, you know, it's interesting because I think it's clear. And this just goes to show, man. Like,
yeah.
When the draft happens, like, you don't know how it's going to play out. And then you kind of react in real time to, like, what you think you need to do. And very clearly, there was this run at receivers. Like, Drake London went, and then Garrett Wilson, and that, like, opened the floodgate.
Mm-hmm.
And teams started calling. They were trying to move up. And, like, the Saints felt like they had to pull the trigger to move up to get their guys. So they go get Olave. And immediately, the Lions panic trade and do Jameson Williams. So it was boom, boom, boom. And so, man, it happens fast, and the Saints felt like they had to pounce and react. So, look, I'm glad he's in the building. I'm glad he's in the building.
Yeah, I mean – me too.
Ralph. I mean, how long have we been asking for this?
Yeah.
I don't know. This better. I'm hoping that because we have Mike Thomas, they're both Ohio State guys. I am hoping that
Michael Thomas better play nice. I'll tell you that.
That's one. But I'm also hoping. Yes, that's huge. But I would also hope that like that's going to like. Just make everything exponentially better. Like that's going to help Olave get better faster. That's going to motivate Michael Thomas and make him better. So I'm hoping that like, you know, not only is it an improvement and an upgrade just because of Chris Olave being in the building, but also maybe a little boost to Michael Thomas as well. Mm-hmm. So maybe I guess my hope here is that we're kind of getting a 2-for-1 deal here.
I mean, I do think, well, here's the thing. If Jordan Davis is there at 19, Dennis Allen's going to murder people and make the pick himself. So, I mean, are you going to disagree with me there, anybody? Or no?
Sorry, what was your prediction?
If Jordan Davis is there at 19, Dennis Allen's going to run to the podium himself. I don't know how he's going to get there.
Yeah, I'm with you. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Do we want to get – I think we got a bunch of people requesting to talk. Do you want to get them in?
Yeah, I want to get them in before we get out of it.
Okay.
All right, we got – let's see who we got here.
And let everybody know. So if they pick again at 19, we're going to do another spacious?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so just let everybody know to come back.
Yeah. So you got Raymond, and then we got – and then we got Raymond, and then we got Butteridge. And the Pelicans
hey,
Pelicans are up one. Go.
I'm gonna go quick, but can we just talk about for a second how much of a Goodell move that was to have noted Saints killer Tony Gonzalez out there to just kill the buzz of the trade while he gave a sales pitch for Amazon Prime?
I know. What the hell? That was so annoying.
It was the worst timing ever. But for real, I think Olave was the pick. I think that was the obvious choice. Obviously, our receiving core was horrible. And y'all touched what I was going to want to say anyway with Jordan Davis. It seems like everything's falling in the draft where he might actually be there at 19. So you get Olave, you get Davis.
Hamilton's
I think you home run, yeah. So I'll let you guys go and get other speakers in there, but I just wanted to put that in. It looks like it might be a home run draft the way it's falling for the Saints if they can get one of those guys to slip to 19.
I mean, Andrew, I said today – I want to give myself credit. I said they're not going to get Olave and Cross. They'll get one of them. They won't get both of them. And that's how it fell. I mean, it was just that was the dream of all dream drafts. But look, if you get Davis.
Hamilton gone, by the way, taken by the Ravens at 14, which is really strange because they signed Marcus Williams.
Yeah.
I don't get that.
That is really, really weird by the Ravens. And it's the thing is though, the Ravens, they are one of these teams. They're kind of like the Saints in that way, where if they have a dude that's so higher rated than everybody else, they'll just be like, "We're taking him. We'll figure it out later."
Jordan Davis was selected by the Eagles.
The Eagles, they traded up. So, ugh.
Woo-hoo!
So now you got the Tech, you got 15, 16, 17, 18. So who else do we got? We got I want to get
no quarterbacks taken.
No quarterback taken yet. Butteridge, you think they trade down? Butteridge, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm sorry. I'm like double tasking. Sorry.
So you think this? What are you, odds? Yeah,
there's a lot going on for us that are watching the Pelicans and the draft and trying to listen to this.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Twitter spaces. I'm multitasking to the max here, and I have friends over. I got like five things going on here right now.
Yeah, it's
a lot. I can tell you right now, the Packers are fucking pissed at how the draft's going right now.
I know.
Yeah,
and cheap too.
Yeah. They really wanted a wide receiver, and now four out of it's probably top five are gone.
I mean,
oh no, Aaron Rodgers is going to piss and moan again. Whatever will we do?
I don't think it's like that. I think it's just they know they need a fucking wide receiver because all they have is a old and worn out Randall Cobb. Then they have Alan Lazard.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's it.
Yep. Here's my question, Andrew, before we get before we take a little break and we get it situated and we watch the end of the Pelicans game, then we come back on when the Saints are at 19. Okay.
Jay Crowder just airballed the ball. Shot. Fuck you, Jay Crowder.
We know that your sources said they don't really like Penning at 19. They think that's a little too high for him. So we know the Saints don't usually reach. So as you're looking at this board, if the Saints don't trade down, what are you thinking about at 19?
Yeah, it's just hard to say at this point, man. I think obviously you go best player available. I think you got your receiver, which was important. But I think now there's a bunch of different positions that you could go. You could go defensive back, you know, either corner or safety. You could go running back. That feels like a little high to be picking a runner, but – You could go certainly a tackle if you like Penning. I mean, the gut that I got at 16, it was out of the question. At 19, it still felt a little high. And if they traded back into the 20s, then it started to make more sense. Yeah. But, you know, they may decide, let's go ahead and take Penning, you know, based on his athleticism. So I still think it's a wait and see thing with 19 based on what's available. But look, they got the receiver. That's the most important thing. We knew that was the biggest need. And from here, you know, I think it could really go so many different ways.
I think there's
so many guys I like still.
They have looked very, very hard at corner. Trent McDuffie's still there. You know, Daxton Hill. So it's a lot of stuff left. Okay. I want to get to
Trevor Penning. Like, I just want to say
Butters, you know,
thanks. Devin Lloyd is out there too. The linebacker from Utah. He's still out there. I'll tell you the only thing, I mean, even Devontae Wyatt of Georgia, the defensive tackle, I'll tell you what I would not like: Malik Willis and Kenny Pickett. I mean, those are the two at 19. And again, like I was told, they don't like the quarterback. So I don't think they would take either, but those are the two. I think anything besides those two, I would feel good about.
I think McDuffie, Daxton Hill, they've looked at this people in the secondary.
Andrew Booth.
But here's the thing. Do the Packers or Kansas City, are they like, we got to get Treylon Burks. We have got to get him. And maybe you can slide back. Because if you slide back to 22 and you pick up another third – that really helps you because you burn two.
Yeah, I like that, and then I'm good taking Trevor Penning. You know, if he's still there at that point, so yeah,
you know,
I would not hate that.
Well, okay, so let me ask you this. Let me ask you this. The Ravens are on the clock at 15. I think we know who they picked, but Hamilton is still available. If the Saints,
that's who they're taking Hamilton.
I know. But so the Saints, if the Saints had stayed put at 16. If the Saints had traded up one spot to get Hamilton, would you have been happy with that? I mean, wouldn't you have been totally shocked and surprised to see them get a guy like Hamilton who was projected to go top 10?
Yes.
So I think that's what Kevin and I are saying. It's like, just let the draft come to you. Like, yeah, I know you want Olave. And yes, I know they need wide receiver help, but they also need safety help. That's one of the positions of need.
Yeah,
and you could have stayed put at 16.
I watched the Saints try to throw the football last year, Dave.
Yeah, but what you haven't seen is them try to defend the football without Malcolm Jenkins and Marcus Williams.
Yeah.
Touche, motherfucker.
I'll take my chances.
All right, I'm going to
You're going to be.
All right, we're going to get to I want to get to Michael Moreno, and then we're going to get on out of here, take a little break, and be back when the Saints are on the clock.
I'm out now. I'll be back.
Michael, what's your thoughts on Olave?
Well, I mean, when they traded up, I thought it was a little too early, but after seeing what the Lions did, I was fine with it. So, I mean, I'm good, you know, but I'm on board with Kevin, you know, like when's our next pick after this? We got rid of the third and the fourth. So when do we pick it?
You got 19 and 49. So,
didn't we get rid of 49?
No, 49. They still have that.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I thought they got rid of that. Okay. Never mind. I feel better.
So 49 is their second round pick. The Saints traded 16. And then their third round pick, and then their fourth.
Okay, round pick. I thought they traded.
I mean, would you trade a first round pick, Traquan Smith and Rick Leonard for Olave?
Oh, I would 100%.
I mean, I just the thing was, and I'll end with this, Andrew, is they were 100% correct. Like the Saints said, we have to get a freaking receiver, and we have to do it right now. And it was correct. Like, you can say overpay, you could say that you didn't like it, but their calculus of it has to be done right now was correct.
Yeah. All right. Well, hey, two minutes left in the Pelicans game, and they're up one. So,
okay, guys, enjoy the Pelicans game. We will be back when the Saints pick at 19.
Tons of people take a multivitamin. Me included. I'm trying to get back on track after football season, eating better, exercising, all of that. And it's important to choose one that is top quality. With one delicious scoop of Athletic Greens, you're absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food-sourced superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to help you start your day right. This special blend of ingredients helps to support gut health, the nervous system, immune system, energy, recovery, focus, and aging. It's lifestyle friendly, adapting to a wide range of diets. It contains less than 1 gram of sugar, no GMOs, no chemicals or artificial anything. Plus, it costs less than $3 a day. It's time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition, especially during cold and flu season. It's just one scoop in a cup of water every day. That's it. No need for a million different pills and supplements to look out for your health. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free 1 year supply of immune supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/sportsdrink. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/sportsdrink to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance.
Thanks for listening to Saints Happy Hour. We are a family here. You know what families do? They support each other. And if you aren't a patron, we need your support. All the great content you consume for free takes time and money. If you love the show and listen regularly, please become a patron. We need you. Supporting Saints Happy Hour can cost you as little as 23 cents a day. That's what the Saints should have paid Kenny Stills. So please go to Patreon/Saints Happy Hour and support the show today.
All right, guys, we are back. Thanks for joining us. I'm going to let Andrew and Dave and them get on it. And sorry, Pelicans, they lost. The tennis, we just had a monumental trade
Tennessee traded A.J. Brown to the Eagles while I was watching the Pelicans lose. This is sad. Saints on the clock. It'll be interesting to see what Tennessee does. I got to wonder if one of these – Green Bay, Kansas City, like, they got to want a receiver, right? Like, I think we have – in this moment right now, this is the best opportunity ever. If you want the Saints to trade down, like, this is the opportunity for it to happen. I just think it's kind of like the board has set up for the Saints to do it. But Rich, give me the best available on your board. Butter, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm sorry. I just flipped out because A.J. Brown just got paid. 4 years, $100 million, 57 guaranteed.
Woo!
They dropped a stack.
I mean, I wonder if that was in the works, or I wonder if Philadelphia was like, we didn't get a receiver, get a receiver. Get Tennessee on the phone. Get it. Done, right? There you go. Boom. Tennessee takes Treylon Burks, and the Saints are on the clock.
Yeah.
So,
I can't believe what's his name? Marquise Brown got traded to the Cardinals too.
Yeah. So I got Juge is back with us. I got Kevin. Kevin, I granted your request to speak. I think this is your moment, Kevin. I think this is your moment where the Saints, if they're ever going to trade down, this is the moment to have it happen. Andrew, do you? Well, Kevin.
Yes, sir.
Kevin, have you ever been filled with this much hope that the Saints might actually trade down? Or Kevin, we lost Kevin. Andrew. You think the Saints trade down here?
I don't think it's very strong, but I certainly think Kevin's hoping for it. You know, I want this for Kevin. I don't think it's happening.
I love that everybody's now rooting for me all of a sudden. That feels great.
I mean, we got the player we wanted, so.
Real quick, before the Saints pick, I just want to give a shout out to the Pelicans. Tough way to go out. I really thought they were going to win that
Jobbed.
Game. Yep. Down to the wire. Brutal way to go out. But hey, what a
absolutely
great season.
Freaking yep. Jobbed.
The 3-16, 3-16 turnaround, ninth seed, doing all that.
Wins two games just to get in, and then get in and they take two games off the top seed.
Had them
on the ropes. I mean, it was just a terrific, terrific season for the Pelicans. I can't wait to see what they do next year.
With Zion, they got the Lakers pick. It's gonna be fantastic. Saints on the clock here. Give me a name, Andrew. Is it Penning? You said he's kind of high at 19, but you need a
kind of high. But you know, honestly, we've been talking all the whole time. We said wide receiver and tackle. Like, how great would it be if we went wide receiver and tackle? So, you know, I don't hate the Penning pick here. I can't believe Jermaine Johnson is still out there. And, I mean, he would normally be great value. Look, safety, Daxton Hill.
They pick a defensive lineman. Lord help us, God. No, Saints Twitter will lose their mind.
I was just saying I was surprised he's still there.
Pick is in.
All right, here we go.
You know, McDuffie, the corner, would be good. Lloyd, the linebacker, would be good. So I mean, there's a lot of ways they could go here, and I'd be happy.
We're going Trevor Penning,
just no
right?
Quarterback. Just no quarterback.
It's going to be Duffy. It's going to be Duffy.
No, this has got to be Trevor
McDuffie.
Penning.
McDuffie,
Trevor
the corner.
I don't think they're going to take Penning, but I could be wrong.
I think it's going to be McDuffie. I think it's going to be McDuffie. My top three,
McDuffie.
Daxton Hill.
Cornerback,
safety, or Penning. Those are my three in that order.
Okay, I know who they selected.
Tell us.
Yes.
Tell us.
They took Penning.
Yes. Okay. That's
okay. Good.
Wide receiver and tackle.
There you go. So,
good.
I mean,
I know Penning is a little bit of a reach based on kind of where they had him slotted, but at 19, you get a tackle. He slid maybe more than people expected, right? I think if you look at a lot of the mocks, it didn't really seem like he would go at 19. And man, like, I'm just offensively, you came out of this draft.
Receiver tackle.
A Raz god at left tackle. And now it's up to Doug Marrone and Zach Streif to coach this guy up. But I think he's gonna be great. And Olave, like, dude, they got two great offensive talent.
Again, look, I'm happy. I'm happy that they got wide receiver and tackle in the first round. Address the two biggest needs. Great. I wish they didn't have to trade up to get Olave. I wish they didn't trade up like they did and give away the picks. It's not me. Dave, it's not me.
Not me either. It's Dave. It's Dave.
Dave. There you go. It's Dave. So, yeah, I mean, Penning, he was going to go probably – some people – he had all over – he had, like, from right where about the Saints picked him to low first round. So, like, the Saints might have picked him a little early, but it isn't, like, dramatically early. It isn't like, oh, my God, I had a third-round grade on him. No, they picked him, like, what? Who gives a damn? You picked him five spots too early. Whoop-de-doo. You know?
Yeah, but I just think he's just got to be coached up. And I think they're in a good situation with James Hurst where, like, they don't have to start him right away. I mean, if he's great in camp and he tears it up, and then great, and start him at left tackle. But if not, you have time to groom him. You can kind of bring him along, coach him up. You know, Streif and Malone can get him. Can get him to play the way they want him to, and maybe he doesn't come out of the gate starting, and maybe Hurst kind of provides him with a little bit of an opportunity to develop his game before he has to play.
Well, and I'll say this, Dave and Kevin, you know, the Saints, they have picked – you look at the – A.J. Brown got paid. So receivers are getting ridiculous money. Tackles are getting ridiculous money. If the Saints are correct in their evaluations and Olave is really good and Penning is really good, their cap will be pristine in a year because you will have – premium positions, Dave, at low cost.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, I don't hate the draft. I'm not mad at the draft. You know, I think I'm like Kevin. Like, it's unfortunate that they had to give up those other picks to get Olave.
Why'd you lie to me?
But I think based on what Detroit did after them.
That's right.
I think they had to do that.
They had to do it. Did you want one of the elite receivers in the draft?
Right.
That's it.
Right. And I can't fault them for that. And it's a pretty good draft. You know, both of these guys are people that we've been talking about for the last 2 months. So, you know, it's not like years past. Where they're picking guys that are kind of out of left field, you know?
No, it was...
These seem to be like much safer picks, and that's good. These guys, we just got two guys that we should expect to be heavily involved on day one. So,
yeah.
But the only thing is tomorrow, you know.
You got one. You only have one pick now.
Yeah, we're not doing. Yeah, you know, not much going on tomorrow.
Well, no, they have a second round pick. I mean, they'll be able to add a good player.
Yeah, I know.
49.
And we still we still have no first round pick next year, which that's what's most concerning to me. I guess, you know, considering where we are at quarterback and if we're going to need a quarterback next year. Now, obviously, again, I think the Saints are banking on getting something for Sean Payton.
Oh, 100%. Well, and even if you don't get a first, you'll get a couple of seconds.
I'm really curious at 20 if Pittsburgh is going to take a
quarterback, Are they going to take Kenny Pickett? Because here's the thing.
Because if they don't, like, when are these quarterbacks going to get taken?
Because here's the thing, Andrew. You have said all along. And listen, I know Kevin, you blasted on Andrew, saying, you know, but Andrew said, look, the Saints aren't. He said they aren't going to trade up in the top 10 and give away both first. And he had said all along a lot.
Wasn't blasting on Andrew.
Well, you were a little bit, but the thing is, and I want to ask you, Andrew, is you've said all along the Saints do not like the quarterbacks, but I want to caveat that.
I don't think anybody likes the quarterbacks. I think that's pretty obvious now.
Quarterback just got taken.
You don't like the quarterback at 19, but do you like the quarterback at 49? Do you like him enough to move up and burn more 2023 assets?
No.
You don't think so, Andrew?
I think the Saints would consider
Andrew would. Andrew would do it for Carson Strong because he loves Carson Strong.
I would say Carson Strong at 49.
That's what Ralph was saying.
I mean, a lot of people are saying he's third or fourth round now because of his medical. And, you know, I'm not a doctor. So, like, you know, if the medical's sketchy, then obviously I have to go with whatever the consensus is there.
Yeah. Here's the thing, man. Would you say, and I'll start with you, Dave, would you say the Saints, we just said, look, they got their tackle and they got their wide receiver. So every team's going to be, they're always going to say, oh, I can't believe he was there. And I mean, we're pleased and blah, blah, blah. But do you think when Mickey Loomis woke up this morning, do you think he would have been pleased with this draft, or he would have been like, I didn't really want to do the Olave trade, but I felt like I have to. Do you think the Saints view this draft as like an A+, it went smooth and perfect, or are they like, you know, happy, but not like elated?
I don't think that if Olave was their guy and that's who they really wanted, I don't think that they could have realistically thought he was going to fall all the way to 16. So I think that they were planning on trading up, and, you know, hindsight being 2020, that's probably maybe even why they got the 19th pick, in case they felt like they had to package two first round picks together. And so I think they're probably actually, honestly, I think they're probably happy that they only had to go up to 11.
Give up a third and a fourth.
I'm dead serious. Yeah. I'm dead serious. I think, honestly, they're happy that they got to keep their two first round, or got to make two, I won't say keep two first round picks, but got to make two first round draft picks. And I think they're happy with the guys they got. And again, now that I'm, you know, this is live, we're digesting this as we speak here. And now that I'm kind of thinking it through and thinking it over, they probably
like it a lot.
I think they probably like it a lot. And again, like I said, because if Olave was their guy, they knew they were going to have to trade up to get him. There was no way he was going to fall to 16. And so it was a question of how high up were they going to have to trade up.
Steelers, 16 to 11. Take Kenny Pickett at number 20. So first quarterback is finally off the board. You know, look, I'm with Dave. I think you say what you will about the trade. The bottom line is the Saints have an insanely talented left tackle. I mean, off the charts size, off the charts power, off the charts strength, off the charts speed. He has everything. And now his tape is a little scary, and he didn't do so well at the Senior Bowl or whatever. But look, like, again, Doug Marrone and Streif will have to coach him up, but they have a supremely talented player with a ton of potential that's maybe their left tackle of the future. And they have a receiver that's going to be able to contribute day one and help this offense. So I think the Saints hit a home run today. I really
do. I'm pretty happy with it. Whenever we're ready for guest speakers, I want to hear what KB has to say.
We're going to get to one of my favorites.
And good on Dennis Allen for not taking defensive players. You know, this offense needed some juice bad. And
I think the Saints made a decision. I don't know if it was this morning. I don't know if it was last week, whenever. They made a decision in a room somewhere where they're like, we're getting fucking Chris Olave. Like, they made that decision as a group, and they did it. All right, one of my favorite people that's always in the space with us, KB, you watch a lot of tape, Baker Mayfield tape, which is weird. We don't need to talk about that. But your thoughts, I know you watch a lot of tape. What's your thoughts on the Saints draft?
It's interesting. I personally didn't love that Olave over Jameson Williams pick, but I understand it. I think it's a need, and it's a need that needs to play right away. So I understand skipping on Jameson Williams for Olave, despite the fact that I think Jameson Williams is a significantly better scheme fit for the Saints. I understand it. At this point, they need bodies, and maybe there's no yak opportunities, but you can work with that. You have Michael Thomas. You know, you have other options within the receiving room. So I'm going to give it an A-. I like it. The Penning pick irritates me so much, strictly because I really, really do worry about his technical difficulties. I don't know that he has a long way to go, and I'm not entirely sure how much of those, the hands, the feet, you know, he plays on his tippy toes almost. He gets rocked back. I mean, you match him up with an Aaron Donald and he's going to die. And that worries me a little bit. You know what I mean? And I'm not sure that
that's... Here's the thing with that, KB, is, look, Doug Marrone, as a head coach, as an offensive coordinator even, as a line coach, you love it. You got Zach Strief. Like, if anybody can get it out of him, I think Doug Marrone and Strief are the guys. Just like it's the same thing with, I was hoping the Saints would get Jordan Davis just because Jordan Davis is such a perfect physical specimen. Pairing him with Ryan Nielsen would have been amazing, right? And that's part of the reason.
I think one of my concerns is if you're drafting a tackle that needs work, you almost get that value on day two. Like, what are you doing at 19? There's other needs you could have gone for. I understand if he's Penning's there, you take him because, you know, essentially, according to his stock, he sort of dropped a little. So maybe he got some value for what you picked at. But I just kind of wish if they were going to take on a project for a fan base that has no patience, i.e. Caesar Weiss, then, you know, maybe you should have waited until tomorrow to pick.
Well, how much of this, Andrew, is the Saints looked at it and is like, yeah, Trevor Penning's kind of a project, but the difference between him and whoever the next dude is the Grand Frickin' Canyon. We ain't about that life. We're taking him.
Well, not only that, I think when in doubt, that's all. That's been the Saints' MO for
Raz,
the last several years.
Raz.
Yeah, and he's
literally
he's a Raz god. And I mean, I just got a text back, and the Saints' offensive staff is just
euphoric.
Like, in yes,
yeah,
they're like, great night. Better, like they are absolutely pumped.
Well,
so,
you said one of your sources, Andrew, you were like, they were kind of worried that like the Saints didn't do anything to help the offense in free agency. They didn't do hardly anything. They lost Armstead. Like your couple of your sources,
I know the offensive staff was kind of bracing themselves for one of those two picks being a secondary player. So to get an offensive line, get a tackle when you lost Teron. And when your receiving core has been such a joke, to get a dynamic player like Olave, it's a night to celebrate, man. In fact, I think I'm going to crack a beer open now.
I might have to crack open a pony. Dave, when the Saints...
I have a question.
I moved on
before
to
I hop up.
Go ahead, KB.
Quick question. What's your timeline look like for Penning? You know, do we see him play significant minutes this year, or is it kind of an injury-only situation and then we'll see him next year?
I think...
I can answer that.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Ralph.
I was going to say the perfect timeline for him, 2013, Teron Armstead, but you hope James Hurst isn't Charles Brown. You want better.
So what I was and this is – I'm not an offensive line guru by any means, but I was given tidbits by an offensive lineman. So, you know, I believe it, you know, and it basically – Penning, a lot of it is technique. And what I was told was if you watch his tape, you see the athleticism, but a lot of the stuff that he gets away with in college is a penalty in the NFL. You'll see
Absolutely.
Him kind of ragdoll dudes and throw them aside, throw them down. But like that move is a penalty in the NFL. And you know, I was
for
told
sure.
like you get thrown out of practice for doing stuff like that. So
my other concern with him is when he's not so aggressive, he's too lenient, right? He plays on his tippy toes. His hands are too high. He's off balance. So if your choice is getting thrown out for unnecessary roughness or getting knocked over because you play too high when you're, you know, when you're a little bit more casual, that's a problem today.
He said, Jeff Schwartz,
I think on Twitter he said he doesn't play even. Yeah. So I think this. I think happen to have two guys that are about as detail oriented and Marone especially, he's made his way all the way up to head coach by how good he was with offensive line. Like that was his stock in trade. So I believe you give him someone this talented, they will figure it out. To answer your question about timeline, I really think it's a year. Like I mean, look, he may be forced to play sooner because of a James Hurst injury, or maybe James Hurst just isn't playing that well and maybe they feel he's ready sooner. But like, I'm kind of expecting Penning to be like the tackle eligible this year and get some playing. He'll get in games, he'll be in the jumbo packages. But like, if you told me right now, gun in my head, is he starting week one? I would say no. I would say James Hurst is your starter. Not. And I think it will stay that way until James Hurst gets hurt. So if he doesn't, I think we're realistically, Trevor Penning is your starting quarterback and your starting left tackle in 2023.
Fair. Thank you guys. Happy draft night.
Thanks, KB. You know,
and look, like with Armstead, Armstead is a beast. I mean, Armstead ended up being one of the best offensive line picks behind Jari Evans that the Saints maybe ever made, right?
And so the thing with him too, but he's a
top five offensive line pick in Saints history, and he didn't play in year one. I mean, what week did he come in and play 13. Against Carolina? That was 13. Week 13. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, I think it's on a similar timeline. I think, you know, Penning, maybe he is your starting left tackle late in the season. I think if you had been told that Armstead would sit out most of his first year with the Saints, but he would turn out to be that good, I think we all would have said, yeah, pick the guy and we'll wait. We'll wait for him to come around. We'll put up with 12 games of Charles Brown, which was difficult to put up with, might I add. James Hurst is a better player than Charles Brown was. So we're in a better situation right now than we were back then. But I think that it's a similar deal with Penning, and it's just going to take a little bit of time. Whereas like with Olave, I expect him to have 5-6 catches in week one.
Kevin, I have a nightmare scenario for you in that I believe what Andrew said. I think it was on the Zoom call yesterday. It was with the patron. By the way, if you're not a patron and you're listening to us on the Twitter Spaces, become a freaking patron. $7. You get access to all our content. You can listen to this later when we put the previous spaces. I'm going to mash them together. You should become a patron. Support the show so we can do amazing stuff. But Andrew said something in the Zoom call yesterday with patrons, Kevin, that I think should send a chill down your spine. And here's why. Andrew said, look, the Saints think this draft is ridiculously deep. And so they don't worry about having a 7th round pick because they want to be on the phone with potential free agents. But I want to take that a step further. The Saints might love this draft so much, they might start burning 4th, 5th, 6th round picks from next year to get back into this draft to get guys and burn future assets, which it's not only trading down, it's not only trading up, it's burning future assets to get more players now, Kevin. I think that's a real concern for the Saints, like for me and you, because I think it might happen.
Oh, Ralph, I don't know why you're concerned. I mean, the Saints have several draft picks next year. I mean, they've got what, 9, 10? I mean, they've got a couple first rounders next year that I think they could part with one of them easily.
Sean Payton's going to give them a bounty, I guess, a bounty of picks. But Andrew, is my fear, is that well placed, you think, or are they just going to focus on UDFAs?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it could go. I do think that they're going to go hard for UDFAs, You know what's interesting about this draft is I feel like Tyrann Mathieu is even more likely to happen.
Gotta
after
happen.
These two picks.
Gotta happen.
So like, I almost like this better in a way because I was worried that they were going to box out Honey Badger by taking a secondary guy. Look, I still want Jarvis Landry too. I'm not going to lie. Like, I think the cherry on top of this draft is if they turn around and they get us Matthew and Jarvis Landry.
Sunday
I know
morning,
they had,
baby. Right when I'm drinking I know my they coffee. Got Let's do it.
I know they got Olave, but I'm just saying, if they get both of those two, man, I'm starting to feel real great about the season.
They get Honey Badger and Jarvis Landry same day. Dave, print the fucking T-shirt. NFC South champions again.
I don't know. Maybe.
We'll see.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Angry Ocho, I want to talk to you. You had
the Packers just drafted the wrong Georgia linebacker.
Hey, old Saints heads, we call that the Randy Gratishire. If you know, you know. I won't go into it, but if you're an old Saints fan, you know. I want to get to Angry Ocho. Angry, you had a great Kevin GIF ready for the trade down. I used it even though it didn't happen, but I wanted to give you a shout out. That was great work by you. We appreciate it, you giving us that. Me and Kevin's trade down dream didn't happen, but we appreciate you being a patron and putting in the work, doing the GIF. That was awesome.
Well, hey, I appreciate it. Last time we spoke, I said I'm in it for the memes, so I gotta try to make it happen. But let me turn the conversation around a little bit on Penning, because here's how I see it: is we love Teron, but Teron missed so many games because of injuries. Right. So I see it as a win if Penning misses games occasionally because he goes full Kyle Turley and rips dudes' helmets off and chucks them into the stand. I would rather see a guy miss games because of that than being injured. So I see it as a win-win. I hope he's nasty. I hope he's dirty. I hope I obviously I don't want penalties. Obviously I don't want to cost the team a game, but I really hope he brings that energy. And 9.96 RAS. That's all you gotta say.
Hey, Andrew, I love the Kyle Turley comparison. Is might be a good one.
9.96. Let's go.
Woo-hoo, that is as close to greater RAS as you
can. Higher than Armstead.
Yeah, Kevin.
I tell you what. Listen, if we're in year three or year four, and he keeps getting false start penalties or roughing penalties or unsportsmanlike conduct penalties, I really hope you bust out the Raz every time to defend him. I think that would be a great long-term joke that we have. And look, I know it sounds like I'm breaking your balls on this. I hope at the end of this season, everybody can point and laugh at me. I mean, not that that's a break in pace, but I hope that everybody points and laughs at me because Olave went off and finishes in like the top two voting for rookie of the year. I hope Trevor Penning comes in, sees some game time and looks great and projects well for next year. I hope I, of all people, look like the biggest horse's ass at season's end. I really do. I really do.
Kevin, well, here's the thing. You have done another reason people should become a patron. We created a channel in our Discord, our private Discord, where you can talk Saints 24/7 till your heart's content. It's amazing. We created a channel where Kevin just did mock draft after mock draft. I don't know how many you did. It was incredible. So, Kevin, they're picking at 49. What's a guy you want or a position you want at 49? I know it's weird to ask you a hardcore football question, but you know the draft as well as anyone this year.
Well, part of the problem,
Kevin, wait, before you answer this, I just want to say I have two guests here at my house that are saying hello to you. JR Juratich and Kurt Wilson from your old banging days. They say hello.
My old banging days?
Yeah. Yeah, back when you were, you know, banging.
Banging. So, but Kevin, give us some names at 49.
Well, shit. Well, the problem with that is one of my routinely common picks at 49 was tackle Abraham Lucas.
That's right.
So he's off the board.
Yeah, we got to take that off. Yeah.
Yeah. So he's off the board. So we can't be going tackle. And we really shouldn't be going wide receiver.
Give me Breece Hall, man.
What about
I knew Andrew was going to say
sign.
That.
I really don't think Lewisine is going to be there at 49. Honestly, this could be a situation where there is a defensive player that the coach goes for, depending on who falls down. I haven't been watching what the other teams are doing, but let me ask you, is Jalen Petrie still around?
He is.
So if he falls, he could be one. Is Drake Jackson from USC still falling?
Drake Jackson is still, he's still there.
So
is Jaquan Brisker, a safety.
Okay. From Penn State, right?
That's right.
Okay. Wow. So those,
I love it. I know. This last 3 minutes of listening to Kevin has been amazing.
It's amazing. It's bizarre. I feel like I'm in a bizarro. I'm in a fun house.
I feel like I'm listening to,
Mel Kiper.
What's his face? Mel Kiper.
Unvaccinated, so, Mel Kiper was doing. He has to do the draft from his basement.
Yeah, it's Kevin Kiper.
Right. So basically, like, you know, So if those guys are still around, I could see them going defense on that one, because, you know, defensive minded coach, especially the safety Brisker, because that safety is a position of need, and then, you know, Petrie, I know he's labeled as a cornerback, but everybody in the group chat on Discord was saying, no, he actually projects as a safety. I don't know why the PFF mock had listed as a corner.
His film is awesome. I was watching his YouTube highlights today. The one thing I worry about him, Andrew, is he's kind of smallish. I wonder if he reaches the Jeff Ireland prototype minimums for the Saints.
Yeah, we'll see, man. I like Breece Hall. I wouldn't mind going running back.
You're gonna keep banging that drum. Let me look.
Yeah,
he can't
get enough Breece.
Right. Let me throw this one out here.
I want this to be an all offense draft.
and I'm the lunatic.
I like.
Look. Let me throw this one out there. What if they get closer to 49 and the bat phone starts ringing, and it's a couple, it's an offer. You move down an extra whatever, I don't know, maybe 10 picks or something. You get like a few picks.
You get an extra third, right? Yeah.
Yeah. You get an extra third. Maybe they throw in a sixth or a fifth. I don't know. I'm just like, if somebody calls with an offer, I'm giving serious consideration. Otherwise, I'm probably thinking it's going to be one of the defensive players that's available, that's high on, you know, it'll probably be like one of those best player available types at one of those positions. Yeah,
we got to get to all these people that are waiting to speak. So yeah. Joshua, you've been waiting a while.
Hey guys,
your microphone.
Just super, super quick. Number one, thank you. But also, I genuinely want to take a second to recognize how close we were to having Kevin be completely detached for this entire season if they would have got Deshaun Watson to what
doing,
we just listened to. It's an incredible turnaround. It's an incredible
round.
Turnaround. Thanks, guys.
Yeah. Full 180.
Full 180. Buddy. I love it.
So, Joshua, unmute yourself and give us your thoughts on the Saints with Chris Olave and Trevor Penning.
The Chris Olave pick, I love it. It's really, really good. My question would be, as far as Trevor Penning goes, like, what are the odds of him moving over to starting out at right tackle and then moving Ramczyk over
to left tackle?
And he has that huge incentive in his contract to, like, hey, you move to left tackle, we'll pay you more money. Just for a season, see how it goes. And, you know, but my thing is with Kevin, like, I say they double dip on our offensive line, and that way you get rid of Ruiz and you have an extra body to throw in there. Cause I mean, honestly, like, I'm surprised Ruiz hadn't gone in like some trade package or something. So
getting rid of Ruiz, definitely,
you know, they wouldn't, I don't think they'll do it because I think I don't think playing Penning at two positions would benefit him because he's, like you say, he needs, you know, KB said it and Andrew said it. He needs a lot of freaking work. So I don't know if playing him at guard and tackle would benefit. But they did it with Turley. Turley's first year, he played guard.
He played left tackle in college. Penning did. So I think that's the natural spot for him. And I was told that the plan is not to move Ramczyk. So I think Ramczyk stays at right tackle right now.
You know the Saints love playing players out of position, though. That's my thing. They love putting them in random odd spots.
Yeah.
It's true. It's true.
Thanks,
Joshua. Thanks, man. Appreciate it. Let's get to Avery. Avery, you've been waiting for a while. Unmute yourself. What are your thoughts on the picks?
Avery, you there?
Avery,
yeah, there he is.
There you are.
To go to sleep.
I'm here. Am I here? I'm here.
You're there.
No,
Avery's
Dave.
Getting.
We didn't ask you.
Avery's getting connected.
As far as the location, because
what about Jason? Jason, did you want to say anything?
Jason in Mid City. What do you think of the draft?
Well, I think we got ourselves another Kyle Turley.
Kyle Turley was
good. Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Kyle Turley was good till his back gave out.
Yeah, I think it's an amazing thing. You know, super athletic, nasty streak. I absolutely love what Loomis did tonight. So I'm happy.
You know, and the thing is, this is one of those times, Andrew, where we always joke that Loomis's superpower is avoiding disasters that he wanted to do that couldn't. Tonight he got it done. He got up at 11 and got Olave. So we'll see how it works out. Jason, it's interesting. Jason, give me a position that you want at 49. What would happen at 49 where you would just be tomorrow? You'd be the Elmo with the fire gift fire behind you. Just think this. You'd be like, this draft has gone from really good to freaking amazing. Like what would happen at 49 that would just have you over the moon?
With the 49th pick in the 2022 NFL draft, the Saints select Breece Hall, running back, Iowa State.
Let's go. I love it.
Go.
Thanks, Jason. I have to say,
you're a man of the people. You're a gentleman and a scholar.
I have to say, Dave, that it, to me, is absolutely bonkers this offseason. NFL teams, like, it used to be, oh, well, we're not going to pay a guy. We'll figure it out. We'll make him play. Teams are like, the trades this offseason at receiver have been crazy. Can you remember a draft day trade as big as A.J. Brown where it just, like, dropped out the freaking sky?
No. Wasn't there another trade, too?
Hollywood Brown.
No, I can't. I mean, player trades in general are pretty rare.
It's in this offseason, it never slows down. And I heard, I forget what podcast it was. They said
it's all receivers too.
It's all receivers, but they were saying that team executives, it was either Mina Kimes or somebody that team executives were telling them that don't go on vacation in June because all these players where you have to get the franchise tag, you got to sign them by July. Teams now are like, oh, you're not signing the extension? We're trading you. And there might be even more action in June for guys that can't get their long-term deals done. So it may be wild. The receivers are wild. And the money that they're getting now, like the Saints, if they hit on Olave, you get a – hell, now 1,100-yard receivers are getting $20 million. So, like, Olave doesn't even need to be, like, Michael Thomas-level elite. Like, all he needs to be is a 90-catch, 900-yard guy, and you're getting a great discount. That the receiver money is so crazy.
Let's go to Royce. Royce, unmute yourself. How are you feeling about these two picks that the New Orleans Saints made today?
Hey, y'all hear me?
We can. Yep.
Yeah. Man, been listening to you guys for a minute. All the way from Canada, Toronto, Canada. I think this has been a great Yeah, listen, I don't care about drafters. But listen, I think this was a great draft, man. I think, first off, I don't know why any fans deluded themselves into thinking we're going to draft a quarterback. Listen, NFL teams are all about optics. One thing you can say for sure is if Kenny Pickett and Jameis Winston are on that field together, you're going to, the players are going to look at Kenny Pickett throw a ball, they're going to look at Jameis Winston throw a ball, and trying to convince them that one is better than the other, even for 2 years, is going to be a tough proposition. So they were never going to do that. Mm-hmm. And then number two, I think the Trevor Penny pick, people might be down on it, but I think this is just the Saints betting on their staff. A lot of, some teams, you know, you can draft players, if you, sometimes you see it, like Olave is a technician. Day one, I think Olave is like the Saints' answer for Calvin Ridley. He's just going to come in right away, be a high number two, and then hopefully one day maybe be a one number one receiver. Yeah, we can't have that. But with Trevor Penning, they're just gambling on the fact that, hey, you know, we got Doug Marrone. We got a pedigree of developing offensive linemen. What's the point of us not betting on that type of coaching? There's no way.
I really like the way that you put that, Royce. That's a great – that they're betting on their staff because, you know, there was a time where when Sean Payton was the coach, I would have bet on Sean Payton to develop a quarterback. And now that it's Carmichael, you know, look, if Sean Payton had said, I love Kenny Pickett, and he had drafted him, and that's the route they would have gone, I would have believed in it because I would have said, look, Sean knows what he's doing. He's going to get the most out of that player, and it's going to be fun to watch. But with Sean gone, I would not bet on Pete Carmichael to develop a quarterback and to develop a young quarterback, a rookie. And so I wouldn't feel that strong there. But, like, if you ask me defensive line, Ryan Nielsen, I absolutely believe in him to develop a guy. And I believe in Marrone. I believe in Streif. So on the offensive line, you give me a young player that has this kind of Raz talent, and I believe they're going to develop him and make him a stud.
Yeah, because even for me, I was a big Jordan Davis fan because I just looked at him like, people are like, oh, you can't rush the passer, and Michael Lombardi put it well. It's like, it's third down, I'm just going to put 240 over your shady small center.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm just going to push him. I'm just going to push him back to oblivion. But I think, like, I agree with the staff. I also say one more thing is, the Saints, I know we're all like, this was a big draft, and it just felt like there was so much anxiety on Saints. Oh, can they draft? Some people made it sound like the Saints are, like, you know, a terrible drafting teams. Even with Trevor Penning, people are like, the Jaguars drafted a guy who can't even use his hands yet. They just bet on the fact that he's a guy, like, high.
They drafted a guy who has no production in college, basically. Exactly. They did the super deluxe version of Al Woods is what they did. Where they said his measurables are amazing, but he didn't really put it together at Georgia. But we'll put it together for him because he's got long arms. You know.
You know, we have the second best record in the NFL since 2017. You don't get that by drafting shitty players. So, like, for me, I 100% always trust the team with the draft pick, even guys who don't come out firing off the gate. So I love this draft. I think it's great. In the second round, maybe a Breece Hall would be great. Lewis seemed to be great. One guy I really like is Travis Jones. I think we could use another defensive tackle, another big guy, 320 pounds, who can easily allow us to play that cover two shell. So those are the guys I'm looking for in the second round. I doubt Travis Jones makes it to 49, though.
Well, yeah, that's good stuff, Royce. Hey, thanks, man. Appreciate you speaking up, and thanks for your long support of our show. And
Dave,
feel free to come on our spaces again and join us. Yeah, Dave.
Are the Olave Garden t-shirts, are you at the store right now printing them up?
No, I'm not at the store right now printing them up. I'm at home watching the draft like the rest of you. Pelicans lost. That's upsetting. I'll see what I can come up with tomorrow. I might have some free time tomorrow, and I'll see if I can come up with a design. And if I do, maybe we'll put it out there because I'm fairly confident. I'm fairly confident we'd be able to sell at least 24 of those, so we can print those.
I gotta say,
When you're at Olave Garden, are you family?
When you're here, you're family.
I have to say,
there's gotta be something there. Like, okay, so Mike Thomas and Olave go to the same school, same family, so there's something there with Mike Thomas.
Yeah, yeah, we gotta workshop that. Yeah, yes, and there needs to be a gif of Michael Thomas and Olave eating unlimited breadsticks together.
You know,
this the fun thing with this draft is the draft nerds will hate it because the Saints have they traded future assets to get in get an extra pick in this round. Then they traded up again. So the draft nerds are gonna hate it. So be prepared for the
Barnwell. I mean, yeah, if you were Barnwell
and those people in the world to hate it.
If you had done this on the P, I'm curious actually, maybe even Kevin can do this right now. I'm curious to see if you did this on the PFF simulator and forced the trade, because probably the simulator would say this trade is unfair or uneven or dumb. But I'm wondering if you did this on the PFF simulator, I'm wondering what grade they would give us. Well, Kevin, can you do that?
No, Kevin's gone, I think. But it depends. Oh, Kevin's gone? If you use the Hill chart for trades, the Saints trade, it was almost even, you know? The third and the 98 and 120. And, I mean,
dude, Mickey Loomis is not getting hosed. Like, he's not making trades where he gets fleeced. I get that you see
– I'm just curious.
But part of it also is like you're about to pick Olave, and it's like who would have been there at 16 because Olave wouldn't have been there. So whoever would have been there at 16, like if they're valuing Olave as that much better than the guy that they would pick at 16, then the Saints look at it as, yeah, we're losing a third and a fourth. But like we believe that and I'm telling you this because I know that Olave was their number one receiver. And he was really, really high on their board. So for him to be available at 11, like I'm just telling you, I think the Saints feel like they've got to steal.
I said that. We all agreed. I that's what I said earlier. I think the Saints are happy with this draft.
I think if you look at that, I think the Saints probably feel like the drop-off between Olave, who they think is a top 10 talent, and whoever they would pick at 16 is like it's night and day.
Yeah, and I just think that trade with Washington, since it was so even on the trade chart, I think that trade was done to earlier this week or whatever. I think the Saints called up Washington and said, like, look, are you willing to move? And Washington's like, sure, give us this and this. And the Saints are like, done. Yeah.
Budrich, you're still muted as a speaker. So kind of give us your thoughts about the draft.
So far, it's an A grade for me. Because I think getting Olave after seeing five offensive players go after five defensive players, the Saints are probably thinking, yeah, we need to get up, get the guy we really want. And I'm glad it is for Chris Olave. I'm really happy he's a wide receiver. And of course, I'm a big fan of Trevor Penning. I think Penning's a very good addition. Mm-hmm. I think he can. I think he will compete for a day one starting job. Though it will be interesting to see where they put him at. They could put him at left tackle, have him compete with Hurst, or maybe they'll put Ramczyk at left and have him compete at right. It's going to be interesting, but I don't care how many holding penalties he gets called for. If he just slams Falcon pass rushers or even Panthers pass rushers, I will fucking go buy an offensive line jersey, Penning jersey to be exact, and because I want to see that happen. When I'm watching
I can
those
tell
clips
you this. The Saints got a better receiver than Atlanta did. I'm convinced of that.
As someone who watched a shit ton of Drake London film, I'll just say yes because he went to the Falcons. Because I really like Drake London, but I do like Chris Olave as well. So I'm happy with this draft.
Yeah.
I'm very happy.
I'm happy. I mean, and thanks, Butteridge, for joining us. I'm happy. The thing is, I wanted them to have more. I just wanted them to have a little bit more flexibility at 49. Now they have almost none, unless they want to burn future assets, which we know the Saints are more than willing to do.
What do you mean by that? Like, you just wish that they could.
I would have liked
in what position. I feel like receiver and tackle were kind of like the two musts.
Yeah.
And yeah, I don't care what anyone says. Like James Hurst is your only guy at left. Like that's not tenable. And I do like Landon Young and
I know the Saints like Greenidge as well. So, like, they have some guys that they believe can be backups and maybe play one day. But, you know, obviously Penning is a different pedigree. And here's my thing. Like, I am bummed that the Saints are likely not to be picking in the third and fourth round. But I kind of look at it like this, Ralph. Would we rather have Chris Olave and Penning?
Mm-hmm.
Or would you rather have, like, whoever was picked at 16 and 19,
yeah,
and like a third and fourth round pick? You know what I mean? Like, sometimes you just got to make sure you get, like, this offense needs help. And I just feel like you got to make sure you get the good guys.
You know, they paid the going rate to move up, and they got a premium receiver. The one name that I keep thinking about at 49 is, and this is a guy that, everything I've read and your sources too, Andrew, the quarterbacks are not going. And mm-hmm. the Saints apparently really, really liked Sam Howell. And just looking at the board, how it sets up, I think there's a really good chance that he's there at 49.
I don't hate it. I told you I don't like the quarterbacks in the first round. But at 49, I think you probably need to trade. I mean, I don't even know if you could get anything at this point for Ian Book, but I mean, you're basically kissing Ian Book goodbye if you make that pick. But you know, look, I think if they like him, I guess that's the thing. Like, you're basically giving up on Book, and that would just kind of enrage me in terms of making that pick last year. Like,
yeah, but why did you Sean, make that? That was pick? A Sean Payton vanity project, and he's not around anymore.
That's true. But yeah, if they take Sam Howell, man, like in the second round, I don't hate it.
Here's the thing with Sam Howell, as I was reading about him this, because I knew you said, hey, the Saints really like him. And I was like, well, let me read about him. The one thing about him, his last year at North Carolina that was interesting was North Carolina lost both their running backs and their wide receiver, and I think their tight end. So like all their skill position guys were gone. And Mac Brown and the offensive coordinator told him, they're like, look, Sam, our skill positions suck. You need to do less reading of the defense and more running so we can win games. And he was like, okay, cool. So it really affected how his tape and how everything went for him. But in his evaluation with teams on the board, and that, like, teams love him and realize that he can do a lot of more stuff than he did his last year at North Carolina. So it made me a little bit more intrigued with him than the little bit of college. Like, I'd bet on three or four North Carolina games, and whenever I'd see him, I'd be like, this dude, he's just chucking the ball a million miles an hour and running it. I don't know about this dude. But after reading that, he's intriguing. And the thing about him is, whereas Ian Book's physical skills, even though it's not his fault that they got crushed by the Dolphins, like, you could see, like, I don't think Ian Book, I don't think his arm, I don't think his mobility, I don't think his escapability, like, it's not NFL quality. Like, it's just not.
Yeah, and that's, no, I'm with you.
That to me is what I saw in the Dolphin game. Like, he never made one play where I was like, oh, that's cool, he's got NFL talent. I never saw it.
Here's an interesting tidbit, Ralph. Dennis Allen and the defensive coaches were extremely high on Georgia defensive tackle Jordan Davis. But the offensive staff lobbied hard for the team to take an elite receiver, and in the end, need and logic won out with the trade-up and selection of Olave. So, you know, Jordan Davis was a guy they liked. You know, that pick would have made a lot of sense, too. And, you know, in some ways, I would have been happy. But I don't know, man. Two comments real quick. My first comment is, you went into this draft saying, man, if they could get a left tackle and a receiver that would be ideal. And that's exactly what happened. They got those two positions, so that's great. My second comment is that Sean Payton might be gone, but the Ohio State drafting fetish is
so
alive and
well, baby.
That remains undefeated, and I don't know that it's ever going to stop.
It's not. It's not ever going to stop. Ohio State is the AAA affiliate of the New Orleans Saints. That is just a fact. Like, I think Nick Underhill once said, a couple of years ago when Ohio State was playing in a bowl game on New Year's Day. He said, turn your channel to Fox. There's a New Orleans Saints job fair on the TV. And I thought that was a tremendous joke by Nick. But, you know, the thing is...
How fantastic is it, by the way, that the Packers took a linebacker? Like, after losing Devontae Adams. Like, Aaron Rodgers has got to be losing his mind.
I will say this about the Saints. Like, if
hopefully, if the Packers take Malik Willis with their next pick, my life is complete.
If the rumor was that the Falcons wanted Jordan Love, the one thing I'll say about the Saints, like if they had moved up to get Olave and Jordan Davis had fell and they were like, we're taking him at 19, like I would have been over the moon. I think I would have been more excited about Olave and Jordan Davis than I am about Penning, just because Penning
100%
is a project. Like Jordan Davis on the Saints defense is the kind of guy where you plug him in and you turn your defense into a soul-crushing machine for offenses.
Yeah. So no, like, I would have – I agree with you. I would have preferred that. That would have been next level. But, look, I like – not only is Hurst maybe not a tenable thing for – it's certainly not a long-term play, right, having Hurst as your left tackle. And it might not even be a short-term play. We're not really sure. So that's not a great situation. And so it's really important, I think, to have a really talented player behind him. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I just look at this offense as it's a work in progress, but you're laying a foundation. And Mickey Loomis said this earlier today, that they prioritize building from the inside out. And, yeah. You know, that for better or for worse, you know, and you look at how good the Saints have been over the years, they prioritize having great offensive and defensive lines, and everything else is kind of secondary. And we've seen that with their picks. They prioritize those two areas, those position groups. And so, the team's had a lot of success because of that philosophy. So when they take offensive and defensive linemen, I know historically Saints fans have been annoyed. They've been outraged. Hopefully Olave this time around is enough to be like an olive branch to make us not as mad about the offensive lineman pick. But like, I felt like this offensive line needed a bit of an overhaul, and specifically just with the injuries they were having, and Armstead in particular, just not reliable durability wise. And when you were kind of Ramczyk was getting banged up and Pete's been getting banged up, and then McCoy had, you know, the 6-week calf issue. They needed to get a guy in the building that's extremely talented and young. They needed an infusion of talent and youth, and they did that.
Well, Dave, it reminds me of the joke. I forgot who said it. They said every fan base wants a dominant offensive line, but they don't want to invest high picks to get it. And
that's your theory?
That was somebody on Twitter. They said that every fan base wants a dominant offensive line. They just don't want to spend high picks to get it.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Because your team drafts a tackle in the first round and boo, oh my God, this is terrible. We suck, blah, blah, blah. That's exactly right. It's a no-win situation for any franchise to draft and build an offensive line. Like you're never going to, you know, only really astute football fans, I think, would respect it.
But do you think...
You know, I won't give the Saints an A tonight. I won't give them an A+.
I'd give them a B+.
I would give them an A. Not an A+, but an A. I think offensively they walked out of this draft much better, and I feel like this offseason was kind of devoid of giving the offense any juice. When you consider how bad it was, I mean, to get a receiver, to get Armstead's replacement, I mean, just such sore needs, man.
Yeah, I give
him... Now go get me Jarvis Landry. Like, go get me another receiver, and go get me Tyrann Mathieu.
I think more importantly, Matthew.
I want them both.
But I think if I have to Matthew pick one, more important. Give me Matthew.
Yes, right.
Yeah, I give him an A-minus because I think the draft, like, it just didn't fall quite right. Like, they didn't get quite as lucky as they did in, like, 2017 where Ramczyk fell and everything fell into place. But I give him an A-minus because Mickey Loomis, I don't know how you describe it, but if you're a gambler, like, reading the table or reading the room, like, Mickey Loomis understood what was freaking happening in this draft with the run on receivers, and he's like, we got to go. And he was 100% correct in that assessment. So just doing that correctly, for me, automatically gets him to an A-.
Dude, Mickey has been at this for a really long time. He's been doing this for a while. And I know, I'm just going to tell you straight up, like, Mickey Loomis has respect around the league from other coaches, other GMs. Mickey Loomis is viewed as elite. Like, I'm just telling you, like, he's on the competition committee. Like, he's in those meetings. And from what I've heard around the league, Mickey is viewed as the real deal.
Dude,
he is highly respected.
Do you know?
Amongst his peers. And so my thing about Loomis is I'm not going to take a Saints fan very seriously that's basically throwing Mickey Loomis there. He's doing terrible. Like, what was he thinking? Like, I'm just not going to take you seriously.
Here's the thing. He's been the Saints general manager for 19. He's been with the Saints since 2000, but he's been general manager since, is it 2003? So he's been general manager of the Saints for 19 years. Do you know how freaking hard it is to remain a GM of one sports team for 19 years? That is incredible longevity. It's elite. And the two names, it's Belichick and it's Loomis. Those are the two longest going.
Well, not that he certainly doesn't deserve it or hasn't been pretty darn good over that course of time, but you know, there is also a unique situation, I think, here with, you know, the Ben family.
Right. He's in the circle.
Him and Peyton and Lauscha.
Yeah.
Yeah. There are many teams that have this like weird circle of and this inner circle, and most of them are not the ownership of the team. I mean, like again, wasn't Mickey in Benson's will or whatever?
But I mean, the part of that, Dave, is
so
that
I mean, like that's a unique situation.
But part of that is he's been around for so long that he earned that trust, and the Saints have won, so the Saints really haven't had a reason to fire him, you know. And
he's right way more than he's ever wrong.
That's right.
And he's given, and I think because he has job security and he's comfortable, he has the freedom to maybe take some risks. You know, and maybe he makes some mistakes sometimes, but fortunately he's right more than he's wrong, and he takes these risks, and he usually ends up on the good side of these risks, and that allows you to take more risk. And again, just he's comfortable. He's not worried about being fired. Most GMs in this league are always having to look over their shoulder, are always worried about this. That's one thing I think that Mickey Loomis never has to worry about. He doesn't have to worry about making a small mistake or even a big mistake because he knows he's got one, he's got the history, he's got the track record, and also he's just it's a unique situation.
This is where Kevin loses me too with the whole like losing his mind about trading down. It's like Mickey Loomis is going for it. Like, isn't that what you want? Isn't this that the kind of team that you want to root for?
Well, here's the thing I was going to say. With Sean Payton gone, the Saints are going to, you know, they're just not going to be as much of a national story and national force because Sean Payton, just the national media just sort of flocked to him. He was interesting. He made the Saints a national brand. And I just love the fact that the Saints are one of the big players in the draft again, one of the stories, you'll get to consume stuff tomorrow night, tomorrow morning. You'll go on ESPN.com, you'll listen to podcasts, and all your favorite podcasts that cover the NFL. The Saints are going to be one of the giant stories tomorrow, and it's fun as a fan to consume that instead of being like a team that never really does anything interesting. Yeah, they play it safe. But like the Saints are always making news, making it interesting, and they make it fun as a fan because let's be realistic. As a fan, they've won one Super Bowl. We might, if we're lucky enough, we'll see them win again if we live to be 80, 85. But really what you want out of your team is you want them to be consistently good, consistently interesting, and fun. And the Saints have done that the majority of the time, and they continue to do it. And I just think tonight was a fun night. And I told you, Andrew, I told you tonight was going to be one of the funner drafts we've ever done on this show. And I think it delivered.
But I don't think it's
not as fun as the Zach. What was that? Whenever Zach Bond got drafted, and then there was Bendy.
Well, yeah, Bendy. Yeah, the whole Bendy thing. That we got a lot of mileage out of Bendy. I feel like we're still
yeah.
mileage out of Bendy.
They traded up.
I was. Yeah, that's. I was very drunk that night.
I'm gonna jump. Y'all keep the spaces going. You got a lot of people still listening. Hopefully, some people speak up. I gotta run, but great. Tonight was a beautiful night. Hoot at, and looking forward to talking more about this.
Well, I gotta eject because I got a 5:45 wake up call for Channel 4.
Oh, really? All right. Well, let's wrap it up.
I gotta be on with Leslie Spoon tomorrow morning to talk about the Saints draft.
Oh my gosh!
So, but everybody, thanks for joining us. If you're not a patron, please become a patron. Support Saints Happy Hour. We are the best Saints podcast. We're doing amazing things. We got Thomas and Poland helping us out producing. You can get in the Discord, talk Saints 24/7 in private. You get a podcast every freaking day. If you want to, if you join the spaces and you only heard like the last 25, 30 minutes, you can be a patron. I'm going to mash it up when I get off here, and it's going to be the first set when they picked at 11 and got Olave and this spaces. I'm going to mash them up. I'm going to put it together. Patrons get that version commercial free. If you'd like to listen to your podcast without commercials, that's a perk of being a patron. So do it. Please support the show. Guys, we will be back tomorrow when the Saints pick again. We'll do another spaces. Enjoy the rest of your draft. We will see you then.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.